They fled from tyranny. Your oppressions planted them in America. And yet, actuated by principles of true English liberty, they met all hardships with pleasure compared with those they suffered in their own country from the hands of those that should have been their friends. Men whose behavior on many occasions has caused the blood of those sons of liberty to recoil within them.
I know not what course others meet, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death.
Believe me, remember, I this day told you so. That same spirit of freedom which actuated that people at first will accompany them still. But a people jealous of their liberties,
liberty,
and who will vindicate them if ever they should be violated. Sons of liberty.
Sons of liberty. Sons of liberty. Liberty.
Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God.
Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. This is what we have in store for you for this March 14th, 2013 edition.
Tonight, on the InfoWars Nightly News, police henpecking continues as a Florida man is arrested for releasing balloons. Then, a journalist is intimidated by White House officials for taking a photo of God. I mean Vice President Biden. And Illinois Governor Pat Quinn continues to feverishly attack the Second Amendment. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
And welcome back. Top story headline. Feinstein's doomed gun bill squeaks by Senate committee. The draconian bill designating an entire classification of firearms illegal squeaked by on a 10-8 vote. If enacted, the law proposes to ban so-called high-capacity magazines and also semi-automatic weapons that the government deems to be illegal. And for more on that, we do have a special report from David Knight.
One, I'm not a sixth grader. Senator, I've been on this committee for 20 years.
There was a rare discussion on the Constitution and individual rights today in the Senate. Senator Cruz brought it up with Senator Feinstein, and she was not amused.
There's some 100 pages of the bill that specify particular firearms that if this bill were passed, Congress would have deemed prohibited. Second Amendment in the Bill of Rights provides that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The term, the right of the people, when the framers included it in the Bill of Rights, they used it as a term of art. That same phrase, the right of the people, is found in the First Amendment. The right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition their government for redress of grievances. It's also found in the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. And the question that I would pose to the senior senator from California is, would she deem it consistent with the Bill of Rights for Congress to engage in the same endeavor that we are contemplating doing with the Second Amendment in the context of the First or Fourth Amendment, namely, would she consider it constitutional for Congress to specify that the First Amendment shall apply only to the following books and shall not apply to the books that Congress has deemed outside the protection of the Bill of Rights? Likewise, would she think that the Fourth Amendment's protection against searches and seizures could properly apply only to identified individuals and not to the individuals that Congress has deemed outside the protection of the Bill of Rights?
One, I'm not a sixth grader. Senator, I've been on this committee for 20 years. I was a mayor for 9 years. I walked in, I saw people shot. I've looked at bodies that have been shot with these weapons. I've seen the bullets that implode. In Sandy Hook, youngsters were dismembered.
Feinstein waves the bloody shirt of Sandy Hook. She lectures the new senator on how long she's been around.
I mean, it's fine you want to lecture me on the Constitution. I appreciate it. Just know I've been here for a long time. I've passed on a number of bills. I study the Constitution myself. I am reasonably well educated, and I thank you for the lecture. Incidentally, this does not prohibit, you use the word prohibit, it exempts 2,271 weapons. Isn't that enough for the people in the United States?
Do you see how she changed a fundamental right to a government-granted privilege? You have a God-given right to own any weapon. That right is recognized by the supreme law of the land. But Feinstein graciously allows you to have only weapons she lists. The analogy that Cruz had but didn't press would be that all books would be prohibited unless expressly permitted. Feinstein would provide a list of government-approved books, and you should be grateful to her for her generosity.
I would note that she chose not to answer the question that I asked, which is, in her judgment, would it be consistent with the Constitution for Congress to specify which books are permitted and which books are not, and to use the specific
number? The answer is obvious, no.
So Feinstein says she wouldn't censor books, only guns.
Sir, Congress is in the business of making law. The Supreme Court interprets the law.
The senator knows, having attended law school and professes to have some experience in the Constitution, none of these rights are absolute.
There you go. The God-given rights of we the people, we who created the government and delegated carefully prescribed powers to it, we no longer have absolute rights. Congress and politically appointed judges will tell us what we're allowed to own.
Great report, Dave. And I would like to comment on what Mrs. Feinstein said. Just one thing. She stated that she is not a sixth grader. And I would agree with that, because I would say that any sixth grader can read "shall not be infringed" and be able to adequately interpret it. So I would guesstimate that she may, in fact, be a fifth grader. Man faces 5 years in prison for releasing balloons on a beach as a romantic gesture. The 40-year-old Brasfield was with his girlfriend, Shaquina Baxter, in the parking lot of Motel 6. When he released 12 shiny red and silver Mylar balloons, the trooper arrested Brasfield and charged him with polluting to harm humans, animals, plants, and everything else living under the Florida Air and Water Pollution Control Act. What is amazing, however, is the severity of the crime. It is a third-degree felony that is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. So no slap on the wrist, no fine, not even something as extreme as community service for this particular circumstance. Up to 5 years in prison. This is why you need to think about not allowing convicted felons to bear arms, because there are some definitely some violent felons. But if you get charged a felony for releasing balloons, that is completely ridiculous. And I would encourage our viewers to contact Dana or Dania Beach, Florida, and let them know that you do not support this kind of legislation. Biden press office apologizes for demanding student journalists delete photographs. College Park Patch reports that a credentialed student from the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland, Jeremy Barr, was snapping photos at the Rockville event when a Biden staffer interrogated the student. "Did you take any photos during the event?" Barr said he was asked by a Biden staffer, Dana Roswig, "I need to see your camera right now." That's probably an accurate interpretation. She reportedly said after Barr confirmed that he had taken photographs of the event that also featured Attorney General Eric Holder and Maryland Senator Ben Cardin. Now, I'm not so sure about Mr. Cardin, but Mr. Eric Holder and also Joe Biden have promoted various just downright illegal activity with firearms, as well as many other things. And somebody's First Amendment right, his right to the free press, and also his right to reasonable search and seizure were violated on that day. Mr. Jeremy Barr, they were searching this guy's camera because he took pictures. I don't see how that's probable cause for anything. Over 20 tons of heroin seized in Afghanistan. Wow, that's a whole lot of heroin. An operation was carried out yesterday in the province of Nangarhar, during which several drug production labs were destroyed and almost 21 tons of heroin seized.
the government ships in almost all the heroin. It's more than up 12 times what it was 8.5 years ago when we invaded Afghanistan. Record numbers. Over 90% of global opium is coming out of Afghanistan, and they have Geraldo Rivera there with the Marine Corps commander going, I don't like it.
The Taliban lend the farmers the money. They are indebted to the Taliban. They have to grow the opium. Now the Marines and their success are, in a sense, a victim of their success.
You're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
So the Marines protect the opium, the same opium you will be arrested for if you're caught with, whether here or Russia or any place else. But yet we grow the opium, and, you know, the problem, nobody seems to want to get to the root of the problem, that we're protecting the opium in Afghanistan. But that's the new America. Illinois governor wants to appeal concealed carry ruling. A three-judge panel of the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the Illinois ban last year and gave lawmakers until early June to legalize the concealed carry of firearms. Governor Quinn, a Chicago Democrat who favors strict gun control, including an assault weapon ban, said violence has been an epidemic. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan said Wednesday that she disagreed with Quinn, even though she thinks that the Illinois law, which prohibits the concealed carry of weapons in public, is constitutional. So I'm not sure how you can say that you're doing something constitutional when you're violating the Constitution blatantly. Right to bear arms shall not be infringed, but you're saying you cannot carry your firearm in public. That makes no sense at all to me. And that brings us to our last story of the night. Florida residents report mysterious black military aircraft. Ocala.com reported on Tuesday a number of people in and around Gainesville, Florida, seeing not only black military aircraft, but mysterious military-style aircraft. We ran out and looked up in the sky, and right over our heads, very low, the sky was filled with black aircraft, which were flying without lights. Linda Aguilar, Gainesville Airport spokeswoman, said the aircraft are part of an operation being conducted by the Department of Defense. So this is a very common thing that we see. First, they'll admit, like, yeah, it was real, it happened, and then just watch a couple weeks from now, like, no, that never happened. That spokeswoman never said that. You're crazy, because she admits that there are black helicopters, even though she didn't want to say what they were. Maybe she didn't know what they were or what they were training for, but you see it right here. So a couple weeks when they try to black it out, you heard it here first. And that brings us to the end of our news segment, and we go now to our quote of the day, this from one Mr. David Rockefeller. Everything is in place after 500 years to build a true new world in the Western Hemisphere. And what happens if we don't pass NAFTA? I truly don't think criminal would be too strong a word for rejecting NAFTA. All right, stay tuned. After this break, we have a double Alex Jones interview. The first one up will be Mr. Ted Anderson as he discusses our crashing economy. And after that, stay tuned for an interview with Mr. Tex Mars as he promotes his new book, Robot Alchemy. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, with some news about some new additions to the InfoWars store. You know, good health is freedom. When you're healthy, you're not a slave to the medical system. Everything works well, your brain, your body, even your spirit. You're a healthier person. And to help support that great health, Alex has asked me to source the cleanest, most potent superfoods and other similar products in the world and bring them to the InfoWars store. InfoWarsStore.com. And we're starting out right now with these three products. We've got Himalayan salt from Pakistan, formed hundreds of thousands of years ago in an ancient seabed long before modern pollution destroyed much of the oceans. This is loaded with trace minerals, and it's pristine, true, full-spectrum sea salt. We've also got Natural Attitude Turmeric. It's an extract of turmeric, very potent, tastes great, alcohol-free. This is from organic turmeric out of India. And we've also got clean chlorella. And we sourced and did research on all the chlorella sources around the world, and we found the two cleanest sources that have the lowest levels of any kind of contaminants. In fact, this one is virtually free of all metals and all contaminants. It's called clean chlorella, and it's about two-thirds protein, and it's got chlorophyll and chlorella growth factor in it. Check it out online. It's an amazing superfood that athletes are using and people are using to help support healthy lifestyles. It's fantastic. So check them all out at InfoWarsStore.com. Look for the Health Ranger Select brand and look for more products to be added soon. This is all packaged in our certified organic facility here in Central Texas. There we follow USDA certified standards and we're audited every year by the USDA certifier to make sure that we comply with all organic standards. That combined with the fact that we only source super clean superfoods and raw materials from around the world means that our products represent the cleanest and most potent products that you'll find across the natural products industry. Check all of these out under the Health Ranger Select brand name at the InfoWars store, InfoWarsStore.com. And we'll be bringing you more of these in the near future. Thanks and take care.
Jakari Jackson here, and I want to talk to you for a second about water. You know about ProPure, our flagship water purification system, but check out some of our portable water filter products at InfoWarsStore.com. The clearly filtered water pitcher. Also, for those of you on the go, we have the Athlete Edition filtered water bottle and the RAD Eliminator Pro filtered sports bottle that removes radiation. And keep in mind, we have replacement filters for all of these products. The ever popular grab and go bag favorite, the Life Straw, the Crystal Quest shower filter system, and the Aquapod kit, great for mass storage of water. And while you're at the InfoWars shop, pick up a copy of our latest book, 31 Days to Survival. You can find all this and more at the InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget, it's your support that funds our operation. Sign up for our free newsletter at InfoWars.com/newsletter.
And welcome back to this Thursday, March 14th, 2013 edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I'm now sitting here in the broadcast chair. I want to tell Jakari Jackson, I did the news portion, he did an excellent job, as well as the rest of the crew. And this transmission would not be possible without YouTube viewers and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers that support InfoWars.com, that are PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers, and who shop at InfoWarsStore.com, and who support our sponsors on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The revolution against tyranny and against dehumanization will be televised, at least until they hit the internet kill switch, and then they still can't stop the signal because of you, so we salute you. Now, occasionally, maybe every month or so, we end up having a sponsor in studio. So those are some of the most popular interviews, like Steve Shank of eFoodsDirect.com. But Ted Anderson is down here in Austin, Texas, visiting with me. He's been there since I first got on radio in 1996. He's been a sponsor since about 1996. That's like 15, 16, 17 years. And he's down here. But I wanted to get him in here, not to infomercial for MinusResources.com, that really is one of the best names, A-plus rated at the Better Business Bureau, that I can't find any other gold dealers that have that, because people are, you know, never happy one way or the other in anything financial. But, I mean, Ted is – I shopped around for a trusted name to be a sponsor, and it's Ted Anderson. But that's not why he's here. I wanted from his 30 years of experience in precious metals and in business, starting Genesis Network with over 1,000 affiliates, Midas Resources, all of it, to give us his take on where the world is and the conflicting news that there is no recession. We left the recession 5 years ago. We're in a global depression. There is no inflation. There's high inflation. All the fake economic numbers, where things are really going. Why is George Soros buying tons of gold? The Russian government and others, University of Texas, rich people, while saying don't buy it for yourself. What is the paradoxical talking out of both sides of the mouth really all about? And, you know, I just love Ted to death, and for whatever neurotic reason, every time he's on the show, I interrupt him about every 5 seconds, like on the radio show today. It was actually pretty funny. He's here with us on the nightly news. Ted Anderson, what is the state of the real world economy? What is the state of gold and silver? What do you see coming down the road? We'll talk to you about Bitcoin, everything else, and then Tex Mars is coming up in studio as well, queuing up out there. It's like air traffic control in Chicago with the crew. Ted, great to have you here. with us.
Nice to be back here, Alex. It's really been a great time here in Austin, Texas. And you're bringing up some very good points. I can tell you right now, the what's going on in the marketplace and what's going on behind the scenes has everything flipped upside down. I mean, presently right now we have the Federal Reserve System pushing the interest rates to the lowest optimal level you could ever ask for. We are looking at zero interest rates. If you deposit money in the bank, you're going to get about a half a point. The manipulation to push the market down by buying long-term bonds, treasuries, even corporate bonds and so on and so forth, dishing the money out, getting it into the economy, has been boosting the marketplace. Of course, today we're at a near record high on the NASDAQ 1590-70, and the reason why that's happening is because the Federal Reserve System is in there manipulating the marketplace. I have to ask myself the question, why in the world do we have this going on? Why do we rely on a central banking system to manipulate the market so we can have a great return on our investments, or even have employment for that matter? It's really been a question that's puzzled me. I've been drawn to this many years ago, sold a lot of copies of The Creature from Jekyll Island to help educate the people, jumped on the Ron Paul bandwagon when I seen him pressing for an audit of the Federal Reserve System. Really, people need to take a look at the monetary system and why they manipulate the markets. I mean, this is a private agency. Many of the owners and the directors of the agency don't even reside in the United States. Do they really have our best interest at heart when you see the interest rates?
In fact, I've got to interrupt with this. Let's play a short clip of a few years ago. Former Fed Chairman Greenspan saying, what is the relationship with the Congress and government and the Federal Reserve? He said, no relationship. We are government and we're above the law, basically. When Congress issues the coins, the money controls the purse. Now Obama says NATO runs our military, not Congress. I mean, these guys think they're God. Here's that clip.
What is the proper relationship? What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. And I've had very...
So what do you say to that type of arrogance we just saw? And he's told Congress that as well. Foreign shareholders, the private Federal Reserve, $85 billion a month, talk about that, our taxpayer money going to them to bail them out, then we pay interest on the money that we gave them.
Well, I mean, this is the whole thing, Alex. I mean, if you go down to Washington, D.C., and you watch the Bureau of Engraving making the money, and you take that tour, they're going to tell you when you get to the end of the tour, they're going to say, this money is not good yet. We have to load it up on a truck, and we have to ship it over to the Federal Reserve System, or Federal Reserve Bank, so they can put their stamp on it. Now it can be issued to us back as money. We end up paying taxes because they don't give it to us. They lend it to us. Now we owe interest on the debt that they just...
We pay foreign bankers for the right to use our money. Briefly explain to folks what Lincoln and then JFK did. They actually, that's the last time in 63 you can find the Lincoln $5 bill. In fact, people can pull up, reissued by Kennedy, Kennedy $5, Lincoln $5 U.S. notes. We can show that on Google. In fact, I've got a bunch of copies of it. You ought to buy those in mass. They're hard to get, but sell them as collectibles. Listeners would love to get those. They're always asking where to get them to. That's an idea. Brainstorming here on air. But I mean, it says Federal Reserve. I paid with a $50 bill to get my kids in a museum because it was like $49. And I had a 50 in my wallet down in Galveston. So I paid the lady the 50. She got a liner out, checked it, wrote on it, held it up. It was obviously, you know, a real Federal Reserve note. It had the strip in it, all the color, you know, red paint on the front. And I go, you know, all that money's counterfeit. That's this Federal Reserve note. She goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, it doesn't say U.S. note. She goes, but it says Federal Reserve. I said, that's a private consortium. I said, you know, before 1913, it said U.S. note. And still it was fiat, but it had some gold backing. And she just was like acting like I was a terrorist. I mean, knowledge is almost criminal today. Yeah, there's one of them right there, Ted. Tell folks about Kennedy, his executive order.
Well, I mean, Kennedy issued the $5 bill, and it was a treasury note, and that's speculative as to one of the reasons why he was shot. What Kennedy did is he bi-stepped to the Federal Reserve System and decided to start issuing notes out of the Treasury. This could be done again. However, the Federal Reserve System has a clamp, has a clinch on the United States federal government, and they just simply won't allow for that. There are too many people in power.
Let me show people this real quick. Since you, okay, a document, Cam, I know I'm throwing this at you guys quick. I know you're aimed at his articles. Federal Reserve note. Let's zoom in on that, and then we'll cut back, because I don't have one of the real copies today. There's actually one somewhere in my office, but it's a big mess in there with so many documents. Federal Reserve note, that's a 20, not dollar bill, Federal Reserve note that you got to pay them interest on just to have it, whereas the government should just be issuing it. Even if you're going to have fiat, it should be them. Now, so it's a total fraud, a total imposture, a total counterfeit. Now let's show people a real U.S. note, 1963, months after signing the executive order to issue it, they blow his head off in Dallas. Guys, punch that back up. Boom. What's it say up at the top? United States note. 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 Now, let's go over here. Federal Reserve note. Federal Reserve note. Federal Reserve note. I'm not trying to be obnoxious here. I'm trying to break programming. This is a fraud. Now, that's why we talk about gold and silver. 6,000 years, the ultimate store of wealth, hedge against inflation, uncertainty, what the elite get. Because it is transcends even fiat U.S. note or Federal Reserve note, even worse. You know, Federal Reserve, you know, U.S. notes at least like toilet paper. Federal Reserve notes like cactus spines, you know. I mean, it's very painful. We don't want to use that as toilet paper, so it's beyond toilet paper. Break that down, Ted, what these guys don't want us to know.
Well, I mean, the whole point of it is that they've been able to convince our Congress to allow them to create our currency. And now they are able to buy off our politicians. Our politicians are addicted to debt. They love deficit spending. The last thing they want to do is raise taxes to pay for all these plans and all these new bills that they have in their repertoire.
So they hit you with an inflation tax.
They hit you with an inflation tax. It's much easier to hit you with an inflation tax than it is to raise taxes directly from you. And so now they're connected to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve knows that they have this political relationship between the politicians and themselves. The politicians are going to continue to look to the Federal Reserve System to stimulate the economy, just like it says in Bloomberg. And that's what we have going on. Why do we let this happen? It just sort of, you know, it boggles my mind. But the reason you're saying the programming, this is a Federal Reserve note. If the people of the United States knew what the Federal Reserve System was, who owns it, and what kind of strings they're pulling, and all the shenanigans that are going on, they'd be up in arms.
Well, you just heard Greenspan, they're above the law. So going over some more of this, gold climbs on demand for alternative to declining dollar. People say, well, wait, the dollar was up this week. Well, it's kind of like the Helter Skelter song. I'm coming down fast, but I'm miles above you. It's like one guy jumps out of the airplane. You know, that's maybe, you know, the Argentine dollar or the Mexican peso. It, you know, it's falling, but then the dollar's falling too, but it jumped out later, so it's miles above it.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're talking about the dollar falling at 82.61 down 31 cents, you're measuring it against the European Union, the yen, the pound, the Canadian dollar, the corona.
But the fraud is they've all been dropping.
Right, exactly. All these countries are trying to...
So it's like, oh, look, well, you know, we're just a little bit below them, but it's all going down.
When you're inflating your currency, you're exporting your inflation overseas is what you're doing.
But now it's coming back. So let me ask you this.
Exactly.
We've already seen a big uptick, and they have skewed numbers, but everybody knows stuff's getting more expensive. Even mainline experts are now saying, oh, there's going to be some serious inflation later. When it hits, what does it do?
Well, when it hits, what happens is that the prices of items, goods, and services start to rise. I mean, when we're in buying bread at the grocery store, and rather than paying $5 a loaf, now we're paying $7, and then 2 weeks later, $10, and so on and so forth. What happens is people start to lose faith in this $20 bill. And as soon as they get paid, they run down to the grocery store or to the hardware store, whatever they can get that's tangible, that's going to hold its value.
And that's why these always end the same. They devalue slowly, and then they really start devaluing. So, you know, they're devaluing slowly, then they start really doing it faster, and then suddenly the devaluation is hyperbolic. Or if you looked at it on a graph upwards, it kind of goes, you know, it slowly goes up, and then it goes straight up. So to show folks, let me show folks a hyperbolic curve here on television. You know, it starts like that. Slow inflation, all of a sudden, and then goes, and then it shoots 10,000 feet up in 1 minute. You know, it took 100 years from 1913 to now to get to this point of devaluation, and now it's just going to go. Now it's the so we're starting to hit that. I mean, how bad will it get?
Well, I mean that's the issue. I mean, the thing about it is here we are, the people making the cotton.
You like that sound effect?
You're talking about what goes on. I mean, right now, if you take a look at the opposite of that curve of the inflation, you look at the national debt and they match one another. If you invert one and set next to the next, it'll be the same, that same increase or that as the debt increases, the value of the currency drops.
And they're doing stuff like serving, you know, to keep the hidden horse meat for real beef, bigger packages, air in them. I mean, that's all coming out too.
Well, yeah, anything you can do to disguise what's really going on.
Because the minute it really starts, then it accelerates. That's why they use naked shorting to drive down gold and silver while they themselves are greedily grabbing it.
Right, exactly. And you can see that right now. I mean, people like we're talking about earlier, Soros is in there buying gold, yet at the same time talking gold down so the rest of the people don't buy it. You know, so why would he do that? Well, Soros knows what's going on. He understands the Federal Reserve System. He understands money, and he understands trading in the leveraged markets better than just about anybody.
Absolutely, Ted. And, well, go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's why people like him are buying the gold and they're putting it away. They can see the train wreck coming. We have an economic crash that's happening. It's as plain as day. And they're saying, hey, don't worry about it. Get in the S&P 500. The Federal Reserve System will continue to add economic stimulus to the economy.
So they're just feeding the fiat garbage, the toxic debt into there to create the illusion of prosperity. But it's just like gas is $4 a gallon now. It's not that gas is even worth more. It takes more dollars to buy it. Same thing with the stock market. Or is that an oversimplification?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is, because gas is a commodity that trades internationally. It will reflect. If the dollar is dropping in price, gas will come up in price. It's a commodity. If it can't be sold here for $4 a gallon, it'll be shipped overseas and sold.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wherever that inflation will appear, wherever it's happening, it's like you can disguise, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. If you're going to tell
From all the economists you track, you do this even more than I do, and I'm obsessed with it, but you've been in this 30 years. I've been in it, you know, 16, 17, where maybe five, really understanding it a little bit. What's the time frame? I mean, what do you think in your gut, the real? Because, I mean, now the establishment more and more is acting like things are going to get, I mean, it's already horrible in Europe and other areas. Or is there a way to get out of this?
You get to commodities is what you do. You get away from the dollar. Anything that has to do with paper, anything that has to do with the system that they're producing.
Sure, that's individually, but I mean, what's the time frame for the overall system retrograde?
Well, I can tell you right now, we're already in it right now, and it's going to accelerate. Right now, I expect the summer things are going to go along. I wouldn't be surprised a bit if I see $1,550 again on gold. But then again, this fall, it wouldn't be surprising at all to see $1,900 gold. We are in this accelerated process. The Fed is forced to put more money into it. We're now on QE infinity, QE4.
But we're in an upside down world where they can drive gold down a little bit while hyperinflating things. But as always, it's the beach ball. You see the 12-year graph, gold goes up, they drive it down a little, but it always bounces up even more. So it could even go even higher next time it bounces than 1900.
Exactly. And the reason why that is, I mean, right now they've added enough stimulus, which is considered, you know, if it was a heroin junkie, they just added enough heroin for the junkie to feel good for a while. So what do we have in return? Stock market's going up. The economy looks good. Jobless claims are going down. You know, unemployment numbers are going down. But really what's happening is people are getting off the unemployment.
Let's show people a 12-year graph on gold. Show folks a 12-year graph. You know, Ted, just in closing here, you've been a great sponsor of mine. Of all the people that have supported us over the years, the longest continual supporter, other than the general listeners, we've had some that have been supporting us for 17, almost 18 years. Which I was doing the math since being on air since late 1995. You said it's almost 18 years. I started talking to you in late 96, about a year later. So that's 16 years, 17 years. I mean, how many years is it? About 16 years.
Yeah.
Just, you know, of all the gold companies out there, you're not going to make everybody happy, but you got the A-plus Better Business Bureau rating, and I can't think of any other big gold broker that has that. People should check that out. If people see prices that are lower on the bullion you have, it's almost always a bait and switch. I mean, I see deals, you know, where they're offering a quarter ounce, you know, new $5, you know, gold piece for $178. Everybody knows they're $415, $450, if you can get them. A lot of folks bait and switch. They get it and try to wait till it drops to even get your coin. You've got almost everything on site, what you're advertising you do in your vaults there in Minnesota. And the tiny Now, people need to know, when you're making 3, 4, 5% on a coin, if you're lucky, you were telling me, you know, margins are down so much because of the, you know, tough economy and everything, that you got to pay for brokers, power, all the stuff you're doing. That is helping you with Genesis Communications, helping you with everything we do. And how many affiliates does Genesis have now?
Well, Genesis, like you're saying, if we put it all together, so it's numbering into the thousands. And how did that happen? It happened by all the hard work, like you've done with your program, and it just continues to get bigger and stronger. But it does take a lot of money. That studio time is not free. So, the sponsors that I have at Genesis Communications Network, I have to thank. Great shows like yours, Alex. I mean, I'm so blessed to be able to have your show on the Genesis Communications Network. And the listeners have been wonderful as well.
It's kind of scary that as radical as my show is, it's now being accepted because it's real. We're in a radical, extreme time. It's just amazing. But I mean, you've built Genesis up since 1997 from nothing. I knew you before you even had a network as a sponsor. And it's just important people to go to MidasResources.com. They can also go to Infowars.com. And on the right-hand side, we have the two silver dollars with the free shipping, two films and a book for $72. You're losing money, you told me, Ted, on two silver dollars and the free shipping. Because, I mean, normally two silver dollars right now would be almost $70 from 100 years ago. So there's a collector thing as well. But you're talking about the silver dollars adding into that equation the Obama deception, the book on the dishonest money, and the great animated film on the Federal Reserve and the Rothschilds, American Dream. I mean, that's a $60 value with the shipping, $10 value, $70 value free. And you do it to introduce people as a loss leader to the gold and silver, and to the silver to get them as larger customers. But I mean, that is the most, we've been doing it for a year now, the most insane deal out there. People can also call 800-686-237, 800-686-237 to get that. Or go to MidasResources.com. But, I mean, how do you do deals like that, Ted?
Well, I mean, the main thing is the education piece that the people get. By the time they get done reading the book, Dishonest Money, and by the time they watch your Obama deception and pop in that video, The American Dream, they get it. And now they know why they need to own gold and silver. Then we get a chance to do business with them.
And you've got more than half your investments and assets in gold.
Yep, I do, as a matter of fact, because I do believe in gold. I think it's the best place to be. When you see what's going on.
And how much did you donate for the blimps and Ron Paul Air Force? Wasn't it like 4 years ago, like $400,000? And
Yeah, it was in the several hundred thousand range. Yeah.
Well, but both elections,
yeah.
My point is, you're a madman. I mean, you're out there really trying to get the word out.
Yeah,
I mean, you hate the New World Order. And viewers are like, well, I already have the Obama deception, or I already have dishonest money, or I already have... Get the silver dollars, it's a great deal, and then give people that info.
Right, exactly. Hand the videos out. Read the book, pass the book on.
Is it limited how many they can get?
Well, I am going to hold it to one per person. If you have a friend, family member, whatever, you can get it for them too. It's just what I can't do is I can't have somebody order 100 of these videos and lose, 10,
and then
20,
sell them on 30, eBay. That's what they do. We've already
That's
had that
exactly
happen.
What happens. So, yeah, so we do limit it to one per customer. However, Mom orders one, Dad orders one, the kid gets one. That happens all the time, and we get it to everybody.
800-686-2237. Anything else you want to add in closing before we go to break and come back with Tex Mars?
Well,
I know he's chomping at the bit out there. Hey, Tex. Hey, Wanda. All right. Yeah, they're coming here.
Okay. Just wanted to say that it's important that you don't lose faith in the gold and silver just because we're watching the prices go down, and the stock market is hot at this time. That's the best time to be getting into gold and silver. If you wait until we have the next economic crises, like when George Bush was asking for TARP and gold is running from $600 to $1,900 an ounce, you can get caught into the excitement of it.
I didn't buy for years. Now that it's gone down a little bit, that's when I've been in. I got some silver and some gold. I mean, that's just the way to go. And, Ted Anderson, I really want to thank you for being here. 800-686-237. You were saying if you wait, it'll be the wrong time.
I agree. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you wait until the crisis happens, you're going to be paying a lot more.
800-686-237, MidasResources.com. And again, the very best daily specials are linked under that special at Infowars.com. It would show people Infowars.com to find it easy. Go to Infowars.com on the right hand side. It's like the third banner down. It says, two silver dollars, free gifts. That's the link, because under that link, then they'll have, go ahead and click on that. They'll have the daily specials underneath that offer right there. This isn't a bait and switch. You go there, it's there. And anybody that knows anything, people can't even believe that deal. I see them on YouTube. They're like, oh, there's no way that's they actually had two silver dollars and two films. And I mean, it's incredible. And the free shipping. So it's all up there. MidasResources.com, Infowars.com. Ted, you got to come to Austin more often, bro.
Yeah. What a
hey, I know it's colder down here than Minnesota.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's it snows up to here still.
You say, yeah, you're having a cold spring.
Yeah, we are.
Groundhog. Did he see his shadow?
Not sure he did.
He may be the new Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
I heard the groundhogs are racist.
Yes.
He doesn't love world government. It doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, you know.
A little joke from the radio show today, folks. You got that was a little wild when I went into that whole satire piece with you.
Yeah.
Ted Anderson. All right, we're going to go to break. Again, great job, the crew, and all you, the subscribers out there. The truth will be televised if you continue to support it. We'll be back with Tex Mars in that seat. I'm Alex Jones with PrismPlanet.tv and InfoWars Nightly News.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants. So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
InfoWars Magazine is more than just our answer to the internet kill switch. We're also going back to the roots of this country. When our founders, for a decade before 1776, known as the pamphleteers, with hundreds of little printing presses in every colony, got out the real news, the real information, and countered the system. This is tailored designed with the truth to wake up your friends and family. This is the 21st century version of the pamphleteers. So get them at InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Sign up and buy them in bulk. Sign up and be a micro distributor for a full year to buy them in bulk and get one of the newsstands added, or sign up and get 12 issues delivered to your door or give a gift subscription. Whatever you do, be part of the fight. And I want to salute and thank all of you that are subscribers and are getting the magazine in bulk, or who have ever come to InfoWarsStore.com and bought any of our products, because we are supported by patriots and liberty lovers like you. We couldn't do it without you. And in conclusion tonight on InfoWars Nightly News, we're going to be interviewing Professor Tex Mars. And, of course, he was a University of Texas professor of space and aeronautics. He was an Air Force officer. He's one of the most read and best-selling authors in nonfiction on the science of robots. He's been a futurist. He's also a pastor. And he's written more than 40 books, including military textbooks. He's sold more than 20 million books total, and he joins us here in studio to get into the greatest threat to humanity, the singularity, the entire technocracy. And so Tex Mars joins us here live on this Thursday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. The website is powerofprophecy.com. And he's got a new book coming out. You know, I was thinking about Tex a few weeks ago and meaning to call him, and then he called me. And I said, hey, I want you to come in and cover whatever you want to talk about. So he showed up today with a bunch of slides we're going to be showing you from his upcoming book that isn't out for a few months, that gets into the, I guess, the final revolution, you could call it, or at least the Illuminati thinks that. And so it's going to be a history lesson to understand what makes the establishment tick. I haven't read the new book yet because it's not even been printed. I just spent 10 minutes looking at some of the slides and notes. It looks like it's pretty important information. And so I'm very, very excited to have a fellow Austinite, fellow Texan, fellow American, Tex Mars here in our studios and his lovely wife, Wanda. Tex, great to have you here, my friend.
Alex, great to be with you. It really is.
But good to see you. So, wow, it's been a long time since I had you on the air. I appreciate you coming in. You've got your own radio show, of course. I should have added. It's so hard to go over such a lengthy bio. Where should we start here, Tex, on this giant subject that you're going to give the viewers out there the very first look at?
Well, I think we really need to look at three elements of the Illuminati. If we want to study the history of the Illuminati, of the elite, let's just call them, I think there are three great elements. The first one is the French Revolution. Yeah, people say, well, why go back that far? Because it really set up everything for today. Then 100 years later, we had the communist explosion, the communist revolution in the Soviet Union. And that set up for what we have today, which really is the high-tech explosion. People say, well, what do you mean? What's wrong with high-tech? What's wrong with the computers, digital things, software, robotics? There's nothing wrong with them exactly, but they are setting up a police state all around us. You know, it's not something that we're going to see outside of us. We are stuck inside of it. We're like in a box right now. We're in a vice. And in every case, there's a high-tech revolution going on, and the elite are spending billions of dollars to put us in this vice. We need to know what's going on, what's happening for the future. The next 10 or 20 years, if we stay around that long. But there are things that are happening that people really need to understand. And I want to give you credit for being the first on these issues. You know, I was telling you that I was at a newsstand, actually at the supermarket, and there was your first issue. I didn't know you were going to put out a magazine. There was your first issue of InfoWars magazine. I said, hey, Wanda, look at this. And there on the cover was, well, it was about robotics, about how the military was using drones and other robots. Inside was a great article. I want to give people a quote from you about that, because at that very moment, I was working on my new book, Robot Alchemy. And I said, wow, this fits perfectly.
In fact, we'll show folks a document cam shot, a first look at the cover of one of the big coffee table-sized books that you've put out so many bestsellers of, like Codex Magica, Robot Alchemy. Please continue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if we look at these three great revolutions, you know, Mikhail Gorbachev said everything in Russia, you know, from 1917 on, came from the French Revolution. But what do you have in the French Revolution?
Illuminati Jacobins.
Yeah, exactly. The Illuminati Jacobins, that's right. You have Lord Rothschild and his beginnings at that time. You have the terror that began, the guillotine.
That's how they got most of the big palaces in France and still own the Rothschild wine. Literally just stolen. I mean, amazing. And you know, of course, you mentioned technology. I want to go back and take your time, Tex. We've got an hour, and I'm going to let roll here and only interrupt half as much. But just to back up what you're saying here, people say, well, you're a troglodyte. You're anti-technology. No, you wrote the first big bestseller on robotics. You've written technology books and, you know, the best-selling textbook on, you know, military armed service courses. I mean, such an incredible bio. You're a pro-technology guy. It's that they're building Trojan horses into it all to spy, to control. They're taking it and twisting it, and I guess that's why you call it alchemy. So we'll get back into that. But, yeah,
it's witchcraft, basically.
So take your time. Start at Weishaupt, the French Revolution. For people that don't know, right before we went live here, mm-hmm. sort of taping to air on the show, you said, you know, it's funny, there's a photo or a painting of Adam Weishaupt, of the founder of the Illuminati. People think that's just a rumor. And I'm glad you said that, because people think it's in movies. Mm-hmm. They don't know it's Encyclopedia Britannica.
That's right.
They don't know it's actual real history. So take your time. You've got the floor. Start at the beginning.
Well, at the same time America was having all of its ferment of our American Revolution, thank God we had people. We had Thomas Jefferson and others who were not of a dictatorial mind. So our revolution went a different direction than the French's, that the France's did. But the Frenchmen really had a problem. First of all, they had this king and queen. They needed to overthrow, you know, King Louis and Marie Antoinette. And they did. They stormed the Bastille. Who did this? Why, what got them so aroused? We had an amazing conspiracy. That's exactly what it was. We had Adam Weishaupt, who founded the Order of the Illuminati in 1776. Then we had, of course, Rothschild, who funded the whole shebang. But it was the first great revolution. They said, we're going to promote democracy, equality.
And by the way, they got the records of it. That's how we know all this.
Oh, yeah.
When the writer got struck down with all the command orders. This is.
Oh, yeah. I have a copy, in fact, one of only 10 in the world.
Wow.
Of the first book by Adam Weishaupt, when he set it all out, exactly what he intended to do. Adam Weishaupt was a professor.
I wish you would have brought that. We got to have you back.
Maybe I will. But he was a genius of a man, but he was called a devil man. He was a Jesuit. He was a Jewish man. He was a Mason.
He was everything.
He was everything. And he founded the Order of the Illuminati, which you can read about. Now, he founded this, and the idea spread throughout Europe, but especially in France. You know, a lot of people say, well, they just killed the nobility. They set up the guillotine. They wanted was to kill the.
They
nobility.
Replaced one evil with one even 10 times worse. But go through it.
Absolutely, Christianity was the great threat.
Tell us the Illuminati goal.
Well,
I mean, it's pull down everything. Tell them.
Well, the Illuminati goal is just as you have stated on your program over and over and over again. Basically, they want to kill us. Listen,
you tell them out there, Tex.
Alex. Well, you know, the problem is that there are too many of us. And they want to rule. How do they rule with 7 billion people on this planet? The way they do it is to kill about 6.5 billion. That sounds so fantastic. And how are they going to do this? They have devised, we're going to take you through 3 revolutions, basically. The French Revolution, which is the setup for the whole thing. The communist explosion of the revolution, which happened in the 20th century. And now that we're in the 21st century, 2013, now we have the high-tech revolution. It seems to be good, Alex. I mean, they've got everything for us. I was just reading an article here about drones.
Anything you want to show, put them around here. We'll show people.
Yeah. Did you know that they're going to have 75,000 to 80,000 jobs? I mean, this is a good thing.
They're engineering the economy where the only jobs are in the tyranny. That's
exactly,
how you engineer it.
Exactly.
The majority of the new, since 9/11, that staged event, of course you know this, but for viewers who may not, the majority of scholarships in technology aren't engineering for computers or whatever, it's for the surveillance grid. So they're designing it where that's the only choice you've got. Sorry.
Well, there are many billions of dollars being spent for this by DARPA. And drones is only a small part of it. They're developing intelligent robots, for example. And people say, well, you know, robots, they're clunky, metallic, things. You know, I've seen all the movies, all the science fiction. And you'll see all of these, in my book, Robot Alchemy. You know, remember, Anne Francis and the robot Robbie?
Yes.
And Forbidden Planet?
Danger.
Yeah, exactly. Then we had Gort. In the day the Earth stood still, 1951, he was after Patricia Neal and all of those things. We had good robots, we had bad robots. We had the Star Wars robots, but then we had the Blade Runner guys. He came back, killed his own creator,
the replicant.
Exactly. Well, in about 20 years from now, people listening to me understand this. In about 20 years from now, we're going to reach singularity. What does singularity mean? The roboticists say, we're talking about the doctors and so forth and various professors at the universities, they say that in about 20 to 25 years, we're going to reach singularity. That means that robots, that their artificial intelligence has been gaining on the humans. We laugh at the robots now. You know, but we laugh.
Well, Big Blue beat a human, what was it, 10 years ago?
Yeah, well, that's right.
Or Deep Blue.
Uh-huh. But now we have robots that don't look like robots. We have, for example, the Eater robot. The Eater robot, what does it do? Well, it's a military robot, but it literally survives by eating human beings.
That's right.
They can grind up human beings, take the bodies on the battlefield, and feed them into Eater. It goes by biomass. That's how it runs itself. This is an example. I want to show people some of the robots that the military is now creating. Now, we know about the drones. They're not a few hundred, not even a few thousand. There are going to be hundreds of thousands of drones everywhere.
The Pentagon already has something like 30,000 Predators alone.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're not like you think. You know, you think you're going to see this big thing in the sky, and you'll be able to avoid it or whatever. No, they come. Some of them are like flies, and you know you're being bothered by this.
And it injects you with a bioweapon.
Absolutely. You'll see the picture that we've got here, where you see the robotic fly has a small injector, and he can inject you. So you're sitting on your back porch reading a magazine or whatever, and suddenly you're dead. People want to know why. They don't understand.
But the Air Force came out a few weeks ago with this new film showing the drone flies over and drops hundreds of little ones that land by your house and spy on you. But that's the high-tech ones.
Yeah.
Those are ones that can move. They already have the smart meter on the side of your house dialing into all your wireless, spying on you. And the White House CIA director came out, a few months ago, before he got disgraced, and said, "We're spying on you via your washing machine." Remember that?
Yeah, he did. The refrigerator is spying on you.
I stole your thunder. You were going to quote what you saw in the magazine, "The End of Humanity."
Well, your magazine had this article, and I believe the article that you wrote was called "Rise of the Robots: The End of Humanity."
Yes,
that sounded like science fiction. But I knew that it wasn't. I read the article. It was amazing. I want to quote you. One of the things you said in that article. You said this, Alex. You said, "In the coming decades, humanity will face a new kind of enslavement, a scientifically designed tyranny through which the elite will use robots to subjugate the rest of humanity and eliminate any pockets of non-cooperative resistance." That's from your article, October 2012. I thought about that a long time. I was working on this book. I was working on these kinds of robots that we're going to see. Now, robots are an amazing thing. Frankly, I love robots. I wrote the three cardinal books on them. I was the first to write the personal robot book, 1985. It was selected by the Electronic Book Club, the Computer Book Club. I wrote the Great Robot book. I even wrote a book on careers with robots.
You are a leading futurist.
Absolutely, in a previous incarnation, exactly. Well, I've had a hiatus here of about 25 years, but I kept, that interest in robotics and computers and all those things on the side. And I've been watching how things have been developing. You remember that Dwight Eisenhower, as president, in his farewell address, he warned of the military-industrial complex.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is the military-industrial complex? It's exactly what we're up against now.
Well, warn them, Tex, because I want you to take over the show. Tell people out there. You present. Tell them what's happening.
Well, first of all, what you have to understand is robots are incredible creatures. Right now, they're putting artificial intelligence in robots that is amazing. Now, they can't do everything that, we would like them to do. I mean, a man has written a book, a very intelligent book, by the way, Levi, has written a book about sex with robots. They're going to be driverless cars. They're going to be your kitchen helpers. You're going to come home at the end of the day, and they're going to just wait on you.
Google cars are already like in 8 states.
Yeah, well, yes, and, in every way we're being watched, surveyed. But now back to the robots. If you have these robots, the question is, what happens when the robots can outthink, outsmart, outdo human beings? You say, well, that won't ever happen. Oh, yes, it will happen. All the robots.
Well, it's game over. They already say they're not going to have a military. It's all going to be robots, ground, sea, and air, submarines, tiny ones, that will totally control us. And we're paying to build it now, and the elite program it. So even if the troops say no to killing people, the robots are going to say yes. And they say, like Bill Joy, as you know, in Wired Magazine said 12 years ago, he said that we're just going to kill everybody. And they publish this stuff telling us, and it's, people think it's funny.
Yeah, you mentioned Bill Joy in Wired Magazine there. He was the head of Sun Microcomputers, a major computer server company. When a guy like that, a billionaire, says, I didn't give enough thought to computers, to robotic instruments. I didn't think about intelligent machines, where they would go. But he says, basically, let's just look at what he said. He said, they don't need you. They don't need you. It's like the Stepford Wives. Once they've got the robotic creatures built, they don't need the wives. They're going to kill them and get rid of them. That's the point. They don't need all these. They don't need these workers.
There's no empathy. There's no ancestors. Oh, no. There's no soul. They are a perfect puppet to be. That's why our cover is this fake human with an Illuminati pyramid jacked into it. This is the devil trying to play God.
Absolutely.
But I keep going, and then I want to bring up the genetic side, because there's two arms. They see the right arm of their takeover, that they will achieve immortality, in the words of Ray Kurzweil and others, other high priests, via the merger with the cybernetic interface. But separately, they're also looking for the immortal cell lines.
That's right. Absolutely.
And which they actually talk about injecting themselves, but first testing on us, a zombie system where you're still alive, but you are undead. Your cells just keep dividing forever, but in some type of ordered system to where you are living dead. And that's not TV movies. This is what they're into.
Well, we're operating on two wavelengths here. On one, you have transhumanism, where humans become cyborgs. Okay, they take on the parts. They get a biochip in their brain. It all sounds so great. You can have an encyclopedia in your mind instantly, okay, just by installation.
But it's going to have a back door.
Well, not just a back door. I think it's going to have a front door. You know, whatever they want you to do, you will do.
And you'll dial out of the real world more and more into their false projections.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I see it this way. Imagine a biochip in your brain. And you've got all this great knowledge.
And they're going to make it so horrible, the world's going to be so hellish, we're going to want to go into the Matrix.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry. And the great deceiver runs that. And the beast will be seen everywhere as a talking image. I mean, the Bible's all coming true. I'm sorry.
No. Well, you're right. That's Revelation 13. The image of the beast. He'll walk, he'll talk.
Worldwide. He will fill it, and it will serve him worldwide.
That's right.
His spirit will be in it. It's a robot.
Yeah. Bill Clinton, you know, gave a speech in Ireland a few years ago, and he said, do you know what? Now, this is very prescient of good old Bill there. But President Clinton said, do you know what? He asked the audience. He said, we've reached the point now where there can be virtual reality everything. There can even be a virtual reality president. You think you're looking at the real man, but you're not. It's a virtual reality president. He signs documents. He goes to various public functions, cuts ribbons and all that. But it's a virtual reality president. That's what he says. We're at that stage now.
And that's why they're wrapping everything in the TVs, the glitz, the false reality to force you into it.
Yes. You see, everyone will want to have a chip put in them. Everyone will want to be superhuman. This is the transhuman. This is the
promise. Well, of course, they say, well, of course, you see your notes. I mean, you quote, you're the expert in the book, but talk about how they plan to force us, because Kurzweil says you'll be like a bug. You'll gotta have this just to even be on the same plane as us. So they always sell this takeover as the trendiness or to live longer.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, they're gonna get to the point where they say we can download you into a robot. We can make you live forever. You can be immortal. Now, again, we're probably 30 to 40 years from that. But we're going to have far less than that immediately in the next 10 to 15 years. Now, let's just...
People are already living, most of them, in these fantasy video games.
Absolutely.
And that's what drones are. Human intelligence is in it controlling it.
Yeah, you know, there's games where you sit in your living room and you send out your avatar. Into the world. He goes to Paris. He goes to Rome. You're sitting at home. You're a couch potato. You're doing nothing. But that your avatar is going out into the world for you. All right? But here's the problem. Once they have everybody on all these chips, you mentioned the backdoor situation, then comes the hideous truth. They can make you do whatever they want. There's no requirement. You will willingly do it. Your brain will tell you to do it. Now, if you somehow rebel, if you're one of those, somehow the chip doesn't work.
Here comes the drone.
Here comes the drone, yeah. But even beyond that, imagine a horror machine. You're sitting in your living room, and somehow they give you the image that you're being waterboarded.
No, that's it. It's a pain induction chamber.
It is. And it's not just once or twice. But they will waterboard you forever and ever.
They will put you into artificial hell.
It could be an artificial hell until, you know, you subscribe to their doctrines, their beliefs.
And by the way, they say they're going to do all that. That's what's incredible. They write their own demonic poetry, and come out and admit they're torturing even children in front of their parents because they're the bad guys. And now they flip it. just digressing for a moment, I'm sure you've seen they've now fully flipped from Al-Qaeda's the threat to Al-Qaeda's our friend. And Karzai says the U.S. runs Al-Qaeda, but that's the globalist. And then they say the new Al-Qaeda, I have the L.A. Times, is Christian white patriots. And they said our belligerence, this is the L.A. Times, they say, these are quotes, our belligerence will be crushed, and that they're sending the federal task forces. I mean, these are like weird little Che Guevara, Joseph Stalin wannabes, because I see it bragging how they're going to get us. I mean, this is, and these aren't people that think of their life as being somebody from what they create or who they know. They get that through the state machine they're going to be given power. It's the same spirit, and these transhumanists, not the low-level fools, but the real ones, they are into the power that they're going to be controlling the master grid.
Absolutely.
I mean, just look at this right here. It says they are increasingly frightening numbers of cells of angry men in the United States preparing for combat. We can give a document cam. With the U.S. government, they're unusually heavily armed, blinded by an incredible hatred, often motivated by religious zeal, and it's got the Southern Poverty Law Center report, Christians. They are not jihadists. They are white, right-wing Americans, nearly all of which have obsessive attachment to guns. No, we know when they come for that. That's the canary in the coal mine, who may represent a greater danger to the lives of American civilians than international terrorists. And then it goes on to say that, you know, we need to have the federal government and the task force, which they've already got going, it's now flipping it, deal with these domestic groups because they are a bigger threat than foreign terrorists. That's at the end. And it goes on. It says, how can we reverse? What can be done to reverse this tide of belligerent ignorance? And it says, federal task forces.
Federal task forces.
I mean, this is literal. We knew this was going on behind the scenes. Nothing about Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Christians, gun owners, libertarians, returning veterans who've gone and done their dirty work. We're done with you. Robots are here now. In fact, I've talked to Marines. Talked to a Marine Corps colonel.
That's exactly it.
Who told me at Urban Warrior 13 years ago in Oakland, he said, listen, he goes, you think that robot, they had a Humvee drive in with a 50 cal, it targets off sound and movement. There's no humans. You know, there's humans driving it from a satellite wherever they want. They had guys, they're doing it by hand. And that then takes out practicing, you know, the American people. And I know I'm ranting here.
No, you're not.
But he said, listen, Alex, he goes, I know what you do. He goes, you have no idea. And this is when our cameras are off and everything's happening. And he goes, there's stuff I can't tell you about. He goes, it's right out of Terminator. And he said, there's stuff for PSYOPs, you name it. And I said, well, like, what is it? And he just said, well, this is about, you know, 20, 30 years behind what you're seeing here. And of course, now all that's coming out.
It is.
But the issue is, I then talked to some other people in the military, and for PSYOPs, they have the eaters that eat the flesh and things and then biomechanically feed themselves. They have them just like out of the movie Terminator, except they're on wheels, but they have like skull heads and things just to terrorize people because they've done tests with those in simulations on the bases with role players that sign national security, like actors and people. And now they're doing drills. And this, I also listened before it came out in the news, where the troops were saying, why are we practicing mowing down people in football jerseys, Dallas Cowboy jerseys, and John Deere hats? Because it was all white, like 90% white guys wearing John Deere hats, farmers, grandpa. Some other military people I was talking to were telling me, I don't know, a few years ago now, time flies, maybe 3 years ago, that we're having all these drills where we practice mowing down people that look like mainline U.S. citizens and mainly white kind of good old boys, like ranchers and people. John Deere hats, which, because they heard me talk about all the drills I'd been to, that's mainly who it was. And, you know, we're not taking our guns. This is America. I have that on footage in my Police State 2000 film and others. And they said, listen, because people complained about that, because of your films and other things, we now train with the same people but dressed up with green makeup and stuff, and we practice mowing them down saying they're zombies. And at that point, I'm talking to a military guy who just retired. Okay, he was pretty high level. And I at dinner with another fella, and I thought, maybe these people are kooks. Like even I didn't get it at the time because he didn't get it. Then it came out, they have all these Homeland Security, Army, Marine Corps, giant drills where they practice mowing down citizens. If they did that normally, it'd be a wake-up call. You call it a fun drill, and they're zombies. It's dehumanizing.
Sure.
But they're wearing Dallas Cowboy jerseys and the caps. Now they're just subhuman. And then that all came out in the news a few months ago, and it just blows me away. When a nurse in San Antonio 15, 16 years ago gave me documents, they were taking blood for babies at birth. I made calls. They're like, how do you have those documents? People didn't believe me. Came out a few years ago. It was true. I can't even believe this. You can't even believe it. The reality is so, there it is. Zombies used for counterterrorism training. San Diego event. See? I mean, this, and look, who is it? That's men, women, and children. The DHS paper targets, $2 million worth of 5-year-old kids to shoot them. Tex, I mean, this is a nightmare. Go ahead. Talk about the spirit of these devil men, these Illuminati, and then seriously, because I know you're telling me, go ahead and talk, but I want to hear what you have to say. Go through all your slides. It's amazing.
Well, one of the things that people would say is, well, why? Why are they doing this? Why do they hate human beings so much? Well, I would go to the Old Testament where it says, where God actually said, all those who hate me love death. All those who hate me love death. It was during the French Revolution. They call it the terror. In the communist revolution of 1917 all the way up to 1984, they call it the Red Terror. Lenin,
and now they use Al-Qaeda, they run to be our new terror.
Yeah. But Al-Qaeda can be our friend or our enemy.
Exactly.
Depending on what suits their purposes. But let's just look, for example, at jobs. You know, depopulation is their tactic, their strategy. You say, why? We have plenty of places that are unpopulated on the earth. We don't really have a population problem, but we do. Let me explain this to you. Foxconn is the largest corporation in the world. It's a Chinese group.
Guys, pull up Suicide Nets. Just type it in. It's incredible. Go ahead. Now, but Al Gore runs it, so it's okay.
Foxconn has millions of employees, has one company that has 420,000 workers, huge combines. What do they make? They make all the iPhones that are made, all the millions of iPhones
slaves
that we have in America. Yeah, well, it is slave labor. I think they make $1.67 a day. They live in dinky little rooms. They work 6 to 7 days a week. They have no unions. They have nothing. The people are so driven. The peasants that they bring in to do these jobs, to do these, you know, labor-intensive jobs, are so stricken with being a slave labor to being a drone, you might say, that they literally go to the top of the building, jump off, and kill themselves. The building supervisors have had to put nets all the way around the buildings to keep people from jumping off the building.
And when it happened, they're now doing forced abortions and drugging them at the Foxconn, which Al Gore's on Apple, and they've said charge a few more dollars and these people could live well, and they're like, no, it's that Apple's the most abusive, the most evil, but it's liberal, so it's okay.
Yeah.
As long as you call it liberal. You know, it's like when they say, let's abort that ugly black baby. I'm sure you've seen that clip of the abortion warrior guy.
Yeah.
And when he does, it's like, oh, that's liberal. And you're racist for not wanting to abort the black baby. I mean, it's like a weird, what are liberals? Because they're not liberals. They're sick weirdos.
Well, they are sick weirdos. I don't even call them liberals anymore. Obama has Hispanics, blacks, and liberals. Homosexuals, you know, the whole range of people that are just strange, the Hollywood crowd.
I interrupted.
Okay.
Go back to Foxconn.
Okay. Foxconn is the largest company there. What they do is make products for American companies. We don't make things anymore. We send the plans and designs overseas. They make millions of iPhones.
Well, that's the management under Agenda 21. I mean, as an engineer, you know that.
Yeah.
With the rules, we can't build here now. It's designed like that. So it's designed to move it to China to kill them while they build it as a eugenics program. I'm sorry.
But the people are incredibly unhappy. They realize they're being used for slaves. They're killing themselves. They're claiming they're going to have mass suicides. This is embarrassing for Apple. So Apple got together with Foxconn, this huge Chinese conglomerate, says, what are we going to do about that? I'll tell you what they decided to do about it. They're going to go out and get 4 million robots.
That's what they said, yeah.
4 million robots. They've already got 1 million there. And it works out great for them. Why? Because human beings have to take leave. They have to take breaks. They get sick. They want days off.
Why the future doesn't need us.
Yeah, why the future doesn't need us. They've already got 1 million robots. It's working out so good that iPhone said, you know what? Apple said, well, we can bring one of our plants back here. We can have the robots work in America as well as over there. Now, here's the
problem. And people say, well, that's just the future. The problem is it's been engineered by a dark force with an evil architecture. Go ahead.
Well, what do you do? China, Red China, has 1 billion people. They need jobs. These were jobs. As bad off as they were, they're jobs. Now they're all being laid off. They're being told, you complain, we'll replace you with a robot.
Guys, pull up Foxconn replacing people with robots. Go ahead.
And it's an amazing thing. They already have 1 million robots. Where did they get the robots from? They got them from Fanuc Corporation, which is the largest industrial automation company in the world. Fanuc uses robots to make robots.
In fact, they say that's the goal now. General Electric, all of them, is to have robots that work on robots that work at robots. And I've already talked to top engineers. With the computers, no one engineer knows how it works. In fact, it's almost like a ghost in the machine now. It's just working. And the algorithms and the humans are already removing ourselves. And if the globalists think they're going to control this, they're wrong.
Absolutely.
So what's Satan's plan?
Well, you know, you say Satan, he's using human beings today.
To build our own destruction.
He's right there. Well, they realize that human beings are not going to be needed. You see, we now have unemployment. It is a structural unemployment. And so as robots become more and more intelligent, in the next 10, 15, 20 years, robots will be working at McDonald's. They'll be driving taxis. They'll be everywhere. It'll be ubiquitous. What do you do with all the people? Well,
and that's why they're rolling. I was about to say, get to the punchline here. That's why they're rolling out militarized things to scare you so you feel okay when the sweet ones come along. It's all a bait and switch. Oh, look, all the dangerous ones, you're going to accept that. Oh, well, these are the sweet ones. While the little sweet one, Japan's already put up Sentinel robots as a test that look like police but actually just camera platforms. Mm-hmm. And when you get into all of that, it brings up so many points, Tex. Here's my final point, and I want your take on this and then roll with it. Here's what blows me away and makes me so upset. I've seen the actuaries. They've done breakdowns that if they would just pay those people $3-4 an hour, actually the manufacturing, the components is what cost it. The assembly humans are doing is a tiny part of it. Just a fraction of them giving up their hundreds of billions in profit for Al Gore, who runs it all at Apple on their board. He's the real head honcho and works with the communist Chinese. They could lift up all of China, build a livable infrastructure, empower those people for a future. But instead, they've actuaried it to make it slave labor, to make it hellish, to have it be... it is designed to destroy America and Europe and leverage us out while annihilating the poor Chinese. So what I'm saying is it's all done diabolically, yes, and then we've got to see them parade around saying it's liberal. Go ahead.
Well,
so you got to the key, though. You were saying they're not going to need us. Go ahead.
No, they're not going to need us. As time goes on, we're going to have more and more people out of work. I expect that we'll have, now we have, 8%, 7 or 8%. We'll have 10%, 20%, 30%. Now, people are now being offered freebies. We can't give you a job. Well, we'll get you a phone. We'll pay your rent. We'll give you food stamps. We now have almost 50 million people on food stamps. They're going to continue those programs. But eventually they will say, what are we doing this for? Now that we've got this military industrial complex so set up that everyone is in a prison, we've got drones watching everybody. We've got their TVs watching, their refrigerators, they're watching. We've got them totally in a prison. Now, let's get rid of them. We don't need these people. They're useless eaters. And these people are psychopaths. They're psychopaths. And they give no thought at all to human beings. People think that Obama cares for the poor.
Oh, my God. The increased payroll taxes on poor.
Exactly. And so they're going to come down on all of us. But everyone listening to me out there, you think you're going to keep your job. You're not going to keep your job. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do in 10, 15, 20 years. There will be robots that are stronger, that are smarter, that can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, doing your job. They can outthink you. You say, no, that's not possible. Robots don't have that kind of intelligence. They will have very soon. It's called singularity. They will not only have your intelligence, they will surpass it. And they can build thousands. Robots will build robots. It's an amazing thing. We're showing you some pictures now about what they can do. That's today. They can play instruments. There are robots that look like women. They're going to be sex partners. They're going to be all kinds of robots. But believe me, they will take your job. What are they going to do with you? What's going to be done with the millions of human beings?
No, they've told us, Tex, what they're going to do. And again, this is not our opinion, our projection, your analysis. All the globalists have written countless books. You can source them.
Sure.
I know you're going to cover them in your book because that's what you do. They're telling us this is a foregone conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And all the big rich people go to Ray Kurzweil events with world leaders and William Shatner, and they're all being told, go along with this, you'll be part of it.
Oh, yeah.
All the rest of us, bioweapon.
Well, you know, technology is not bad. You know,
it's like a gun.
Exactly.
But it's whose hand it's in.
Well, Asimov, you know, was a great writer of science fiction. He created the three laws of robots. Basically, the three laws of robots ensure, if they're programmed into robots, that robots will take care of human beings. They will tend to us. They will, you know, guard us and all these things. But it's how you program the robots. I'm not worried about robots overtaking us. I'm not worried about
it's
robots.
It's the elite that control them.
Exactly.
That's how they take out humans out of the equation. But expanding on that, his even better books as a visionary, written in the 40s, I think, were the Foundation series, which I know you probably read.
Mm-hmm.
They were the Hugo winner and a lot of other stuff. And in that, they create computer systems that can predict off mass movements, off tracking all the data and your actions with computer chips,
mm-hmm.
before they even had chips, that to then feed into a master system for future prediction of over 90%, they now have it.
Mm.
Isaac Asimov's understanding, which we know others basically fed him a lot of it, was their master plan. And again, how did H.G. Wells in, say, 1900 write about atomic bombs when the equations didn't exist?
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Well, you know, the elite meet constantly. You know, we know about the secret meetings of the Bohemian Grove, of the Skull and Bones, of the Council on Foreign Relations, and all the other groups that meet. They meet and they plan out and they decide what they're going to do to our lives. These are not meetings that we're privileged.
Did you see Bloomberg? 2 days ago, I meant to even cover this. I haven't. I've mentioned it. He said, I use mathematics and science to control things. I will decide what you eat. And he was explaining how he loves us and how, and it was like how he's this wonderful genius. And it said that he will run our life. Guys, pull up Bloomberg. It's in the article. Bloomberg said he prepared for the next massacre. And in it, it's all how he would control. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm backing you up.
Well, think about that. He prepared for the next massacre. He knew one was going to occur. And he said, let's all be ready for it. I mean, just like...
It's more than that. They were staged. I can look at it.
Just like 9/11.
I'm not just saying that. They were both staged.
They
Aurora is 100%.
Of course. And we go back to 9/11, and they had everything ready for us. Remember that film that came on TV over and over again of those commandos of Osama bin Laden jumping over those obstruction things, and over and over and over again. It was exactly like
And they rolled that right before it happened. Again, I mean, look at Aurora. Under Air Force top psychiatrist from an entire base in San Antonio transferred to spend 4 or 5 hours a week with this one guy. A high-level officer with him, he gets $30,000-something from DARPA in a human-mind interface program. He's on 7 drugs, and now they're going to give him truth serum to make him admit he did the murder alone, which is actually, when you're under that kind of mind control, as you know, puts you back under it. So now, in the Denver Post, they're going to drug him for the trial with the truth serum to make him go back into the personality, because he told folks in the jail for the 2 days, I don't remember anything, I'm under control. And then they said he wasn't with people in a jail. The problem was they'd admitted he was in the jail. I mean, and you look at it, they did the whole thing. I mean, that one, we really caught them. Just like Sirhan, it came out, didn't shoot any of the bullets and was under a truth serum drug, which can also be used as a hypnotic drug. It's not really a truth serum. It makes you highly suggestible where you'll say whatever they want. Go ahead.
Well, they're driving us through these things.
Yeah.
They're driving us. They're planning them. They're executing them. And you know, and it's just like 1984. At one moment, you know, Oceania is our enemy. The next day, they're our friend. You know, the Al-Qaeda of Syria are now our pals, our buddies, now that they're after Assad. But once they get in, then they'll be our enemies again. They'll bring turmoil and chaos. That's really the whole goal in the Middle East, to bring destabilization, to bring chaos into those governments. We don't want a stable government in Iraq. We don't want one in Afghanistan. We don't want them in Syria or Libya. We want all the turmoil, all the chaos, because, you know, the elite, they advance through chaos. They've done it in World War I, World War II.
They did it, as you said, the Jacobins, the Illuminati Revolution is really what that was. you're a smart, really smart guy, a visionary, and in so many ways. I mean, you know, proof 20 million books sold or whatever, and predicting so much that happened. I'm not just saying that. It's on record for folks that don't know who you are. Most people will. Let me ask you this. What do you think is going to happen in God's plan, how it unfolds? Because I was already a Christian. I've had spiritual experiences, but I'm as wicked as the day is long. And my works are dirty rags. You know, I mean, my heart's good, but the flesh is strong. You know, the spirit is there, but the flesh is strong.
Sure, that's true of all of us.
Exactly. But at the same time, now you really know. Either Revelation, Daniel, the whole Bible's real, and it's been proven over and over again by archaeology, or guys were in a time machine and came here and saw this. Or evil people are using it as a template, but there's no way people 3,000, 2,000 years ago could come up with all this. What's really going to happen? I mean, it's you know, we're told there's a rapture, so Christians all stand down. When did Christians get raptured in the Bible? I mean, what text, bottom line, where is it all going? What's going to happen?
Well, we have to go to the book of Revelation. And I think it's all in there. The book of Daniel is important.
Break down what's going to happen.
Well, you know, we're seeing it now. We're seeing a cashless society. We're seeing robots that will take over for men. That's in Revelation 13. We're going to see wars where androids, cyborgs, and human beings all conflict with each other. You won't know who the human being is or the cyborg or whatever. But it's interesting that the Bible talks about these creatures, and they're not human beings. They're like locusts, but they're like scorpions. They have they hurt people in their tails, and there's all kinds of strange creatures in the Bible. And now, up to our generation, we couldn't understand these things. How can these strange animal creatures do these things? Where are these creatures? We haven't seen them anywhere of all the animal species on Earth. But if you look at what the military is developing, there they are. There's the alpha dog. Look at the picture of the alpha dog. He's as big as 10 human beings. He can run 20 miles to track you. He's called the alpha dog by the army. There's the cheetah. Why is he called cheetah? He's so fast. He's as fast, you know, three or four times as fast as a human. He's gonna track you down. He's gonna hunt you, and he's gonna kill you.
Well, here's an example. They have all these movies where humans go to outer space. All this happens. It's gonna be great. But they've decided no human space program now. It's all going to be robots. And Kurzweil and all of them say we're going to merge with the machines. And he goes, I don't believe in God yet. I will become God. And they all believe this. Here's the thing. They've decided it's over for everybody. They've decided your course, my children's course. And you read the Bible, it says the elite will throw their gold in the streets. They'll try to hide under mountains. They're all going to get cheated, aren't they?
Well, they are, because they will go too far. They will all go too far in what they're doing. You know, I see this of Obama. I saw it of Bush. They will all go too far in what they're doing. You know, they first of all, they underestimate you and I. Well, you know, you've got this program. You're at way over 100 stations. I mean, this is not, somebody didn't come one day and say, I like your program, Alex. I'm going to give you 600 stations. That's the way they did Rush Limbaugh. That's the way they did John Hannity. You did it by, force of nature, God's help. Really.
Well, I was about to say, they have artificial intelligence. We have spiritual discernment and providence. We have the creator of the universe beaming us information.
Absolutely. You know, people ask me all the time, how are you still alive? I would ask that of you. I think it's God. I think providence.
No, I know it is.
Absolutely.
It's my grandmother praying for me in South Austin.
There you go. There you go. I met your mom and dad. They're wonderful Christian people. And I don't think God is going to let anything happen to us. Remember, God is in control.
Well, if I do get killed or you get killed, there's an overall mission in that. We don't want to die. Yeah. We want to keep doing our work. But deep down, I'm not even afraid of getting killed. I'm afraid of that I didn't do a good job yet. I want to really expose things. I want to learn how to shut up during an interview. Anyways, sure. But I mean, it's that I think it also takes their power when you just give it up, just give in, mm-hmm. and just say, God, it's in your hands. I mean, isn't that a powerful release? Because people think I'm trying to scare them. I'm trying to get people to take action. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to scare them because I've given up my fear. I've just said, you know what? It's in your hands.
Wow.
But then people hear the show and they go, I'm scared. Well, you should be scared not to fight this.
Well, it's like the robots, you know. They're going to take our jobs. What you know, the Bible says.
Yeah, there's no future if we don't beat this. What's the point of laying down to it? I mean.
Well, Jesus Christ himself said, do not fear the man who can take your life. Fear the one who can take your life and your soul. They can't take our soul, Alex.
We've got to give it up.
We don't have to give it up. We're not going to give it up.
No, exactly. What I'm saying is we have
God.
Well, I mean, what's the, because you're a pastor as well as all the other, PhDs, all the rest of it. What about, the issue of where it talks about the, in the Bible, they trafficked in men's souls in the end days.
Well, that's Revelation 18. I think that's where we're into. If people want to know what age we're into, it's Revelation 18. There we see Mystery Babylon the Great. But it's a great trading empire. It's free trade.
That's how it controls.
Yeah,
in fact, you were trying to get into the alchemy, borders. The witchcraft of it. Get into that.
Yeah. Well, the alchemy, it says in Revelation 18 that everything is traded. You know, all of the goods that you can imagine are traded from nation to nation freely. It's free trade. And it says even the souls of men are traded. Think about that. After talking about all these, the perfumes, the merchandise, everything is traded. And look at the stock market and the DAX, and we've got all of these markets all over the world, but they're trading the souls of men. I think that's interesting. They literally have the souls of men. I mean, the last four presidents we've had: George Herbert Walker Bush, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, now Barack Obama. What is the difference between any of them? None. There's not a bit of difference. They sold their soul to the devil. They trafficked in that. They're part of Mystery Babylon.
And that's why if you look in their eyes closely, they all look sick, upset, and really scared, even if they're narcissists. You look at those guys, especially once they get in, they look freaked out.
Well, you know, they have to be frightened. I understand now that George W. Bush may actually have Alzheimer's. He's got something wrong with him. He's afraid to go in various countries around the world because they're going to arrest him. You know, I mean, the guy did do horrible things. Of course, the Republicans now are all talking about Obama using, the drones and all of that. But hey, who originated this? Who got that whole program going? Of course, it was Dick Cheney.
It's totally congruent. It's like Quigley said, they want the illusion of choice on the surface. Who was the last, not that he was perfect, but real president? Eisenhower, Kennedy?
I think the whole high-tech revolution that we're into now began in 1963.
Oh, yeah. Did you see the full quote? I'm sure you've seen the full 20-minute address. We ought to air that some night. We've done it years ago on the radio. Of Eisenhower's farewell address, he said there is a technological, I think he was a technocratic elite that are building a system of control, and they went through, and then he said military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
See, they always do the military-industrial complex, beware that. He said there's a technological elite.
They're the ones that are going to develop the robots. They're going to be the ones that are going to develop all these digital systems to watch us. It's interesting that Eisenhower would do that. Here's a five-star military general. I mean, if anybody would love the military-industrial complex, it would be him. But in his farewell, most times farewell addresses are just little, peon things that they say.
He said, watch out, technocrats are taking over.
He gave a major speech the day he left office. It was his farewell address. If you can tell me what Truman or the Bushes said in their farewell address, I'll pay you $100. It was irrelevant. It was nothing. It was peanuts. But he said something very important. He said there is a technocratic elite here, the military-industrial complex, and they seek unwarranted influence.
That's right. That's the full quote.
And future generations, you're going to have to watch out for these people. We went, unfortunately, right into the Vietnam War. And I think the 1963 assassination of JFK was a coup d'etat. And who took office but JFK? All of the intelligence agencies were working together. Even Israel and France were working together, their intelligence agencies, to kill JFK. LBJ got in. Everything changed in America. You know the old song by Don McLean, the day America died. That was the day. We didn't realize it. But a coup d'etat occurred. Now, we've had other good people. I think Ronald Reagan was basically a good man.
That's why they shot him.
Well, that's true, too.
Hinckley, the Bushes were involved in that.
They were, because...
Why are the Bushes so powerful as minions? I guess because they were double dealers.
Well, they'll do anything they're told to do. I mean, George W., come on. You know, the guy really, I shouldn't say this, but he didn't have any real brains. But he would do anything that Dick Cheney and his handlers told him to do.
Dick Cheney was the real president.
I think he was.
Man, I tell you, okay, keep going, Tex, and then we're going to go to break. Come back with Ted Anderson with financial news. Get over all the points that after this interview is over, you wish you would have covered with all my digressing.
Well, I think you put your finger on it in that article in your magazine, InfoWars. It's a shame you can't send out that first issue again, where it had Rise of the Robots, the end of humanity. You know, I have a quote by Dr. Paul Saffa of Stanford University. Here, I want people to get this in their mind and to really, you know, rumble it around. The things we're talking about are so fantastic today. It just seems like incredible. But listen to this. He said the truly interesting question is what happens after we have truly intelligent robots? Truly intelligent robots that surpass human beings, that have different materials. They're not the metallic, clunky machines. They're truly intelligent robots. What happens after we have them? He says, if we're lucky, they'll treat us as pets. If we're not lucky, they'll treat us as food. Now, why would a professor at Stanford University, one of the...
That's what there will be an energy situation. And yeah. If they're pre-programmed to survive off eating humans, as the Pentagon's doing, oh, my God, it's just...
I think these robots are going to build millions of them. We're not talking about
billions.
We're not talking about thousands.
Well, here's the thing. You know about this as a futurist and space and aeronautics professor and everything else from the University of Texas and bestselling author. I'm not kissing your hind end, but I mean, you really are one of the main minds. You've got all these schools of knowledge and history and being in the military and all the rest of it. But there's no way this plan came out of humans. I mean, this is the devil. I mean, if the devil wasn't even...
I see what you mean.
I mean, I would say this to an atheist. Even if there wasn't a spiritual devil, we're building one. I mean, this thing is Satan. Everything, I mean, it's beyond anything you can imagine.
It's orchestrated.
My gut gets not chills of fear, chills of like, I mean, you know, my spirit, your spirit can feel it. I mean, this is danger approaching, tentacles growing in all around us.
Alex, you know, sometime I listen to you on the radio. And you know you're ranting and you're raving, but listen, you make perfect sense. You make perfect sense. I told Wanda, I said, you know, Alex is ingenious in what he's saying. If you weren't out here, the people would have no one that they can listen to that makes sense. We're trying to make sense. I wrote this book, Robot Alchemy, to explain to people what's happening with the computer and robot revolutions, where it's all headed. We're just talking about 10, 15, 20 years down the pike. But until then, they're busy developing what I call the digital prison. Everything around us is a prison. We're going to have to break out of it. I mean, this is the bottom line, Alex. We're going to have to break out of this prison. We're going to have to, yes, keep our guns. We're going to have to keep our heads. We're going to have to say, okay, this is what they're doing now. What are we going to do to stop it?
This is humanity's great test.
It is.
This is, and
there you go.
And think of how few of us there were 20 years ago, 10 years ago. The numbers are growing, and as everything we talked about comes true, as people see that it's not a dark side, it's all evil,
absolutely,
then the credibility will rise, and what matters is then they'll get their soul right, and that's what matters is eternity.
Well, it is for eternity, and I'm so glad as we're ending this program. I'm glad you're talking about what really matters, what really counts to people. But, you know, until that moment comes, when we're taken out of the world or whatever happens to us or Jesus returns, I think we've got a big responsibility here to educate people, to make people, to help them to understand these things. That's what I'm all about. That's what you're all about. That's the only reason we're here is to do that. And I think that you've... You know, it seems to me you're going deeper and deeper into technology, the technology of the prison. This is a prison.
It's a labyrinth.
Yeah. You know, when I was a young man, we had all the liberty in the world. I mean, if you think back to the way it was, you know, when you were just a young lad and today, everything. I'm afraid that the youth of today don't see it that way. They're going to be in prison and think that it's normal. They will. They'll think everything is normal. They're going to be, you know, getting a chip. They're ready for it. Boy, give me. They're going to line up for it.
But the cancer and all the other things are just exploding as they soft kill us on the bioweapon end. But it's always like Dr. Nick Begich says. He goes, look, the bio is small. It's important compared to the electronic, and that's where the main focus is.
The key is they don't need us. They don't need.
And they say they want to get rid of us.
And they want to get rid of us. We're useless eaters. They've got to get rid of us. Now, a lot of people are fighting for immigration and all these things, and that's all great. But the biggest issue of the day is the prison system. The planet prison that we're in.
And we're the big issue is they want us all fighting with each other over issues.
Yeah, they do.
Which are real, so we've got to deal with them.
Right.
But overall, there is a unified. I had Rothkopf on about 5-6 years ago. I saw he had a book out, The Superclass, you know, for world government in the Washington Post. So they do book tours. We call, we get him on. Listeners always ask, how'd you get that guest? Well, when people have a book out, they'll come on.
Uh-huh.
And tell other talk shows, we can't seem to figure that out there, how to get guests. So I get him on. He actually knew who I was. And during the break, I'm like, why are you coming on? I'm going to yell. He goes, well, I think I can convince you. He goes, yeah, there's 6,000 superclass that serve about 20 families. And during the break, he's like, the board ops heard it. He goes, you're kind of the superclass, the conspiracy thing. Alex, you ought to. And then, of course, later I called him. He won't come back on now because I didn't, you know, at least come his direction a little.
Because
they always say, you're real smart. Come along with us. You know, that's kind of, you know, the public's kind of, But Rothkopf on air just admitted all this, but they put it in a good light. But if you put in a bad life, then it doesn't exist and you're bad. But we're talking about 20 families or so. We're talking about maybe 6,000 superclass servants. I agree with him. They're building a hellish world. So what would you say to the, quote, superclass people? Because everything I know about history, but also my gut and my spirit says, they're going to have the worst lot in all this. And the reason they're unfulfilled and unhappy, a lot of them, is because they're not helping people. And it doesn't mean you can't take care of yourself, but just this idea that because you can lie to people and you can figure out how things work, and instead of figuring out how things work and then trying to teach others, they figure out how it works and then want to dumb people down to control them.
You know, whether they're communist or whether they're capitalist, it doesn't matter. They all work together. This is the way it's always happened. The capitalist help the communist, and the communist help the capitalist, and it's all a big thing. You know, Solzhenitsyn said, has it ever struck you as odd that the capitalist help the communist? You know, there's really only one class, among the elite. And maybe there are 6,000, but there are many more thousand that are willing servants that are so ambitious.
Yeah, 6,000 super gophers.
Now, you've set yourself against these people. I can see that. You've set yourself against these people. I think they're trying to figure out what to do. One thing that our founding fathers gave us was that Bill of Rights. We still have vestiges of it. We need to hang on to it like a tattered
document. Well, you always ask that question about why aren't we dead or what are they going to do with you? Because you've known me for long. To my parents, you know, you married my wife and I. I mean, you know I'm for real. The enemy wants to say he's not real because they don't want people to think they're real. The truth is these are men we're fighting. They've got the devil. We're men. We're women. We've got God. I mean, we need to realize we've got the power. The world's being turned over evil because we stand down. So answer that question. What do you think the establishment's thinking about your work, my work, all of us?
Well, you know, first of all, they say, you know, that Alex Jones, Tex Mars, are uncouth or stupid or whatever, but they know that's not true. They see what you've done on your own. They know I've written 46 books. They can't duplicate that. They're trying to figure out how to stop us, how to embarrass you, how to throw, you know, things in the, you know, the machine to stop us. To stop InfoWars. But I think the Bible really has their number. It does say that, just as you said in James, the book of James. It says, listen up, you rich men. You're going to howl in your miseries. You're going to throw your silver and your gold into the street. And the just people that complain to you about their wages and you killed, you're going to answer for. Now, I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what it says. It says the just people. They complained about their
wages. I think that's almost a perfect quote.
You held back the money from their wages. You know, you did it illegally to feather your own nest or whatever. It says, you know, you're going to have to pay for this. That's what James said. But James also said something. He said, don't say to yourself, I'm going to go tomorrow and do this. I'm going to go tomorrow and do that. Say, if God wills, I will do this. And I've always found that very a motto or thing to live by. Do whatever God says. You know, people say to me, what are you going to do next? Well, I'm going to do whatever God says I'm going to do. And that's all I'm going to do. Unless they take me away. And if they take me away, I'm going to continue to do whatever God says. And that's always stood by me very well. And I hope it'll stand by you
sure.
too, Alex.
When I first, one final point, and then I want you to plug the websites and the free newsletter and all the great things you're doing over there at powerofprophecy.com. When I first read your books, like 18 years ago, right before I was getting on the air and was seeing stuff, you were talking about the Illuminati, the Communists, the New World Order. It was all there, but you didn't really, because you're kind of like a mainline Protestant preacher. There's a lot of mm-hmm. pro-Israel stuff there, because that's how we're all brought up.
Sure.
That's how I was brought up, just overall. The Bible, people of the Bible, all that. But then you've really focused a lot on Israel and select kind of mafia groups that control the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And we hadn't got into that today because I said, cover whatever you want. You want to get into your new book coming out, which is what I'm really into. But my issue is I see a lot of corruption out of the Israel lobby, but then also see the eugenics involved that, like, radiated 110,000 Jewish kids in Israel with the ringworm kids. So I see a triple, double game. You told me, hey, Kissinger says Israel won't exist. You quote all that. So yeah. What is the master plan? Because what I see is it's like some of the Jewish mafia groups bombed mm-hmm. Jewish synagogues in Iraq and stuff in the 40s to make them go to Israel. They did it in Spain. So I just see it as a wicked group managing both ends and then doing things in names. But obviously the Bible, Jesus, all this, Israel's at the heart of it, and so it is an important thing, and then they spit and say, well, that's just anti-Semitic, but that's not actually what you're doing. You're pointing thread in things. So briefly speak on that, because there's all these contradictions, mm-hmm. and then you've got the white supremacist out there who lie and make stuff up, because I've experienced
sure.
it, and said I've never exposed Israel or blah, 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 or, all Jews are the devil, stuff like this. How do you deal with that?
Well, when somebody says, why don't you expose the Catholics or the Jews or whatever, of course, there's evil in all these things, but it's like so much evil in so little time, that you've got to do here. Henry Kissinger called up a columnist for the New York Post. This was about 2 months ago. And he said, I would like for something to be on the front page of your newspaper, a quote from me. She said, okay. Betsy, whatever her name is, you can get the New York Post.
Sure, I saw it.
And he said, in 10 years, Israel will not exist. That's all. That's all he wanted to say. But he wanted to tell the whole world. Because in the Jewish Kabbalah and Talmud, you tell people what you're going to do before you do it. If you're going to murder somebody, you tell them beforehand.
Well, that's like Indians, counting coup.
Yeah, that relieves you of the guilt of doing it, according to this theory. So he's saying in 10 years there will be no Israel. What does that mean? They just came out with a new DNA study by Dr. Ilan Elhike of St. John's Hopkins School of Medicine, one of the most distinguished schools in America. He's Jewish. He says that there is no Jewish people, that all of the Jews in the world came from the Khazars and such. Now, there have been other genetic studies on this. In other words, no one living in Israel today has ancestors who came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Except for the Sephardic Jews Eastern Jews.
But those are less than 2% of the Jews. In fact, the Palestinians are more Israelite than the Jews are.
But by the way, it was Sephardic Jews they radiated.
And by the way, now Obama's going.
Why would the Israelis want to kill Jews that are genetically like the truly ancient Jews?
Well, they're the Ashkenazi Jews. It's a long story. The Ashkenazi Jews are the Khazars. They're not Israelites. The Sephardi, many of them are. Those that stayed in the Middle East are. So the people, when Netanyahu says God gave us the title of this land, 5,000 years ago, no such thing. His ancestors came from Khazaria.
So there's been new genetic research showing that's a true theory.
So this just came out.
The 13th tribe's been confirmed. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Arthur Kessler, the poor guy died. Some say he was murdered. He was a very good Zionist Jew. And he wrote the 13th tribe. He said they came from all of the historians and archaeologists have always said this. I wanted to know.
That's around Georgia.
Yeah, I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to say, well, what is the truth on this? Well, now we have DNA evidence that says the Jews are converts. They're pagans who converted to Judaism. They do not, their bloodlines do not go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And not only that, but Dr. Elhike, who is Jewish, who is a real fighter there, he says there's no doubt about it. It's science. So what happens? What do all the Christians do? I want to say this. Henry Kissinger knew of this study. He knows of this. I think the
well, no, it's really chic to hate Israel, and I see them building it up, Antichrist stuff. Like, I mean, he claims to be and then kills them. I mean, this is crazy.
Right. The elite.
That's what I'm saying. It's more sophisticated.
The elite have latched on to Israel as a tactic, as a strategy.
Just like I saw America's plunging in the polls. They have us do the dirty work, then they destroy us.
Absolutely. Look, the Rothschilds and the others are Sabbatean Jews. They worship Satan. They don't worship the Bible. They have a serpent that they worship. I know this sounds fantastic. Of course it is. But what we
have, that was because of that ancient area north of Georgia. That was
Kazakhstan, Georgia, those areas in there. Those people migrated over to Europe. There were 3 million Polish people. Now, when Israel was formed, David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister, was a Polish guy. Shimon Peres is Polish. That wasn't even their names. They changed their names to sound like they were Israelites. So we have a nation of imposters. But it would be wrong of us to hate these people. It would be wrong of us to not get the right idea here. The right idea is this. These people have been used. They have been used for foul purposes. They have been used to set up a bastion in the Middle East. But they will be dealt with. They'll be destroyed once the New World Order has...
Yeah, why is Saudi Arabia so precious? I mean, they are just hands off. We've never seen such attacks that we criticize Saudi Arabia. And that's when you're over the target, you get the flag.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that the 9/11 people, you know, what, 17 of the 19 came.
But I mean, look how Al Qaeda comes out of there, but we never hear about that, and how they're using Saudi Arabia to take over Libya and Syria. I mean, are they planning a big clash too that Pike talked about with the Muslims too?
Yeah, well, Pike was an interesting character who had the plan, and he said basically the plan is that there will be a great clash between the Muslims, the Christians. With the Jews sort of sitting on the sideline, but they'll be destroyed too. So that atheism will be the true religion, and Lucifer will be the one we worship. And I think that's the key here. We have to understand these people do not worship the Old Testament. And I'm talking about the Illuminati elite. They don't worship the Old Testament. They don't believe in the Old Testament at all. They have the Kabbalah. I mean, you know, when you see Madonna with her little red band, Bill Clinton has it. Britney Spears has a little red a wristband. They're into the Kabbalah. They're not into the Old Testament. They're not into...
That's mysticism picked up in Egypt, Babylon, and then the Khazars.
It absolutely is. That's where it all comes from.
And it's admittedly that. Raiders of the Lost Ark. And that's what drives me crazy. We're informed. People say there's no Illuminati. It's in history books. And everything, you know, and it's just so, I want everybody, no matter what, black child, Jewish child, German child, Chinese child, to not jump off suicide nets. I just want a future text. I know that's what you want. Amazing. We'll have to have you back on a history lesson.
Great to be
on
here.
That, because I find it fascinating, and you know, the way I've described it is, I don't like any of the racist groups. I don't like the racist Jewish mafia that's attacking me all the time, the ADL. I don't like the Mexican mafia attacking me. I don't like the Muslim groups that say I'm horrible because I don't say kill all the Jews. I don't like, it's like I don't like Hitler. I don't like Stalin. I don't like the British royalty. I don't like Che Guevara. You know, so often it's like, this group's bad, so you must like Che. Or America's corrupt, so, you know, why isn't Hugo Chavez good?
Yeah.
Well, compared to a lot of dictators, he wasn't that bad, but he stole a lot of property and stuff from poor people. Even, you know, I mean, it's just the real world. You got to have discernment. You got to have nuance. You got to have history. And I'm just coming in with 39 into being able to really start figuring things out. And it's just to an elitist, they get off on the general public being like deaf, dumb, and blind people who can't even communicate. And then they use that to control them. And I want to empower them. But I think, do you agree a lot of it is spiritual? You know, God has to touch them.
It is spiritual. Here's the real question. Why was Henry Kissinger protected? When he said Israel will not exist in 10 years, remember, he's Jewish. Well, why was he not attacked by the press? How dare he say
Israel? If Ahmadinejad say that, they'd say nuking.
Oh, well, they would say, look, he's got a plan. He wants to kill us all. He wants to bring back the Holocaust. But Henry Kissinger said it. Nobody asked a thing. He just says it. and you're supposed to accept it. Well, I don't accept it. I want to know what he means.
Well, that's
by
like
it.
Rove said, we're history's actors now. They say it, and we accept their reality. Well, I say I'm not accepting their reality. Powerprophecy.com, people can also call and get very, I mean, it's not a news, it's really a magazine, really nice newsletter. Tell people about some of the stuff.
Well, they can go to powerofprophecy.com. Of course, our textmars.com.
You've got a Liberty and Truth conference coming up with Jim Mars, a bunch of other people.
Yeah, Jim Mars, a lot of great people. I hope people go to this January the 7th. They can, January the 6th, excuse me. They'll see about that on our website. By the way, I want to mention this book, Robot Alchemy, will not be out. This is the premiere. I mean, nobody in the world knows about this book except InfoWars and you right now today. So this book will not be out until about April the 20th. So people have about 6 weeks to think about it. Maybe they'll want the book, maybe not. But Robot Alchemy will be out in about 6 weeks. This was really
Well, I'm honored.
I wanted to do that. And Alex, I appreciate you so much. I appreciate everything you're doing here to warn folks.
Thank you so much. God bless you and Wanda.
God bless you, too.
You bet, buddy. And again, that's powerofprophecy.com. Our site's InfoWars.com. And we have the video streams at PrisonPlanet.tv. And that's it for tonight's edition. But the restream with the start of the show with Jakari Jackson sitting here in the chair doing the nightly news. He did a great job. So did the crew. Is coming up in just a moment when the show ends. And again, the archive is always posted a few hours after up at PrisonPlanet.tv. And don't forget, $5.95 a month is 11 subscriptions. I really said 10, but you get your own membership and then 10 more can simultaneously log in at PrisonPlanet.tv. And again, the crew, I salute you. Their only fault is they try to do too good a job and do too much, and we get overwhelmed. But it's better to attempt too much and succeed a lot than just sit on our hind ends and fail. So God bless you all, and Lord willing, we'll see you back tomorrow night for another edition of InfoWars Nightly News.